This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Jones.
Since your phone won't let him call him, I'm going to try and call him. How about that? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. A little bit of technical problems here.
No, there's no technical problem. Right. I took care of it.
How? I just mean you were calling.
Yeah, I had to take care of it. It's all good.
Okay.
So, here it is. This is the call last night. You want to hear a championship call from one of the best in the business? Here it is right here. This is Jack Michaels last night with the Edmonton Oilers on the verge of going to their first Stanley Cup final since 2006.
Stars get a change. The Oilers, 1 minute away from the Stanley Cup final. Missed it down deep by Matthew Shane. Sagan to Robertson, deep right corner. Wrapped up with theirs. Duchene in front. Bounced away. Race for the puck. First on it. Connor Brown. A clear back to center. Hayes get it over. Robertson tucks it back in. Skinner hard up the boards. Came free. Attempted clear. Hacked. Whacked. Bouncing in the slot. Finally out to Hayes get it. 35 seconds. Loading. Side of the net. In front. Swing and a miss. Marchment. 25 seconds to go. A quick dish down low. Duchene a shot off the pads. The rebound cleared by Brown. Not enough for icing. 15 seconds away from a trip to the final. Here's the finish. 2-1 Edmonton. Sagan tucks it down low. Bouchard smacks it around. Marching it from one timer wide. Jason Robertson. 30 seconds. Haskin has it blocked. This game, this series is over. Edmonton's heading to the Stanley Cup final.
So we always talk about teams rising to the moment, and then you have the announcer rise to the moment. Jack, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
Well, your words are far too kind, Steve, and if anyone knows anything about rising to the moment, it'd be you, as your listeners have followed you for the last 30 years. But the first thing I should probably say on this show is to allay any concerns about my smoking habits. Contrary to what you might surmise from that call, I do not smoke five packs of cigarettes a day.
No, you do not, as a matter of fact. This has been an interesting ride for this team because they started out 3-9-1, and then Chris Knobloch took over, leaving the Hartford Wolfpack and coming over. What did he either add, change, or impart to this team that made a difference?
Well, I mean, first of all, Chris has some Pennsylvania connections as well. He coached in Erie. He was Connor McDavid's junior hockey coach with the Erie Otters up in Erie, Pennsylvania. So he's got some Northwest PA ties to this whole situation as well. And, you know, the thing he brought, Steve, is he brought kind of an air of calm. You know, the Oilers, as you mentioned, got off to a dreadful start. They were a preseason cup favorite, either first or second, you know, in terms of the betting odds to, you know, to win the Stanley Cup this year. They had lost to the previous two Stanley Cup champions in each of the last two playoff runs, including a conference final against Colorado 2 years ago. So they were generally thought to be the team to beat, and they were floundering. I mean, they had, you know, they lost to San Jose, who had been winless and just get beat like a drum, 5-6-0, the equivalent of, you know, getting beat 45-7 every Saturday in the fall.
Right.
And they lost the game there 3-2, and you kind of knew that was probably it for the previous head coach. And sure enough, you know, you get a bump sometimes in professional sports, maybe even oftentimes, especially in hockey, which does have an emotional component, and the season does tend to run in cycles. But usually it peters out. I think what Chris did is come in, simplify things in the sense of, you know, we're not going to try 9 million different combinations, even though it hasn't gone well. We're not going to panic. We're not going to show our hand. We're not going to show that we're rattled by what's been going on. We're gonna have these guys kill penalties, these guys on the power play, and we're gonna roll four lines, and you guys are gonna dig yourselves out of it because you're much better than you're showing. And it's gonna take time, but there's, you know, 70 games left in the year. And if we go 5-3 over the next, you know, 8 game segments, you know, 8 times, we're gonna be in the playoffs. And I think that just brought everyone down to, oh, well, you know, okay. Like, you know, yeah. If you tell a guy you could go 5-3, and I realize you can't do that in college football and do anything, but in hockey, if you go 5-3, you know, 8 times, you're in the playoffs. And that I think, you know, chipped away at the whole sense of, oh, we're 2-9-1 and we're in 30th place, and said, well, you know, all we have to do is win about 58-59% of the time, and we're going to be fine. And, you know, still, U.S. Thanksgiving, it didn't go great. You know, Chris lost 3 of his first 5 games, but they got a shutout of Washington the day after U.S. Thanksgiving. That triggered an 8-game winning streak. Then they won 16 in a row. Then they won another 8 in a row, and they rolled into the playoffs as you know, having reestablished themselves as one of the teams to beat. But the Stanley Cup playoffs, I do say, with all due respect to the other 3 major professional sports, I think it's the hardest trophy to win. I really do. It is a 2-month gauntlet of will mixed with skill. But it's often the last man standing. I mean, you see after the year, you know, all the different kinds of injuries that come up reporting. And I just think Knobloch's personality was the perfect guy to mediate through that, because this was a club that was, you know, staring at a 3-2 series deficit to Vancouver in the last round. They've already played 2 elimination games, and they survived those. And I just think Chris has the temperament to negotiate what has been a highly turbulent season in Edmonton. Roller coaster does not even begin to hint at the ups and downs involved in this season.
Jack, it's been a franchise the last few years that has been known for getting a lot of production offensively. McDavid and Draisaitl and Evander Kane and guys like that. Yet, when I've been watching this team, especially the last 2 rounds of the playoffs, it looks like everybody has made a concerted effort to play well in front of Skinner and play a good, solid defensive game. What has that meant, that maturity, that they understood they had to play both ends?
Well, Steve, you're bang on. This has been the misconception about Edmonton for much of the last 4 or 5 months, is that they're still the same old, you know, the 2-pony show with McDavid and Draisaitl. They have won different ways. They have killed 28 straight penalties in the playoffs. They are currently owners of the best penalty killing percentage in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, better than 94%. It won them the last 2 series for sure. And their power play still puts up gaudy numbers, but this team has learned to defend. And for Stuart Skinner last night, on the night where Edmonton was outshot 35-10, and I think the shot attempts were 74-24.
Yes.
I mean, basically, Edmonton 5-on-5 had its clock cleaned. And you always hear in hockey, there's an age-old adage, goaltending and special teams. Well, the Oilers had 8 shots 5-on-5.
Yep.
The 2 shots they didn't have five-on-five. Both went in the net. Both were on the power play. Yep. That was the margin difference because Stuart Skinner stopped 34 shots. You need your goaltender to steal a game at least once or twice in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're not going to win 16 games outplaying the other team 16 times. It's just, again, it's too much of a gamut. These teams are too good. The margins are too thin. And you're exactly right. 2-1. Win last night in game 6, 3-1, then 2 nights ago in game 5. These are not the Oilers that are going to beat you 7-4 or 6-4. They've learned you can't outscore a team. A couple years ago in the playoffs, Steve, they lost game 1 of the conference final 8-6 in Colorado. They lost game 1 of the round before to Calgary 9-6. They know that it's not a recipe to win. You just can't count on scoring 6-7 goals and just try to outscore your mistakes. You're not going to do it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The teams are too good. And I'll tell you what, the next round doesn't get any easier. This Florida team is voted for bear. They've in the last 3 years, Steve, they finished first overall in the NHL. They've gone to the Stanley Cup final, and they've gone to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, this is the ultimate test, the ultimate challenge. And quite frankly, I think the Oilers could use the break. You mentioned Evander Kane. He played very sparingly in the third period. He didn't play at all. He stayed on the bench to open doors for the other forwards. This is the time of year, Steve, where guys start getting banged up and playing with ridiculous amount of injuries. Yep. And so they'll need 4 or 5 days off to get ready for this series.
Yeah, Jack, you mentioned Florida because Florida was number one in the NHL in point differential, goal differential in the third period in the regular season. They are number one in the Stanley Cup playoffs in third period goal differential. It seems like they wear a team down for two periods and then take control in the third. Is that fair?
They're a bit of a throwback, Steve. They're a bit of a throwback to the hockey you and I watched growing up in the sense that they can beat you any which way you want to play it. You want to play a skill game? Hey, they've got a guy like Sam Reinhart who scored 57 goals during the regular season. You want to get nasty? Well, they've got guys like Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk who can beat you on the score sheet and won't be afraid to spear you in the midsection when the official isn't looking. They are a nasty piece of business, and some of their top players are some of their grittiest players. And by grittiest, I mean code for sneaky cheap. And in the NHL, just like the other sports, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. This is, you and I grew up with the Raiders, and I mean, this is the kind of club that again can handle you in a wide variety of different ways. They've got a hell of a goaltender in Sergei Bobrovsky, two-time Vezina Trophy, which is the top goaltender in the National Hockey League. He's a finalist this year for that award again. I mean, they're loaded at every position. They've got muscle in every part of their lineup, and they'll have home ice advantage. I mean, this is the third consecutive series. Edmonton, theoretically, will have to win, an extra game on the road.
Right. You mentioned Bobrovsky, who's been outstanding, and he was outstanding at Columbus, too, when he was there. Skinner's a guy that the last 80 shots he's faced, he has stopped 76. We talked about how they played in front of him, but he's the last line of defense. What has made him an outstanding Stanley Cup playoff goaltender in this particular year?
Well, it hasn't always been smooth for him. I mean, he got out of that Vancouver series, and didn't, was pulled and then didn't play in two games. And what the Oilers did in Game 6 and 7, to your earlier point, is they were able to insulate him. They were able to basically, I mean, if you look at the last two games of the Vancouver series, the Canucks, were getting 35 shots in two games. I mean, they were getting 17, 18 a game. They weren't high-quality chances. Not only did Edmonton win the games and close out the series, but it allowed Skinner to kind of rebuild some confidence, to get a couple of victories. Same thing early in the Dallas series. They played a double overtime game against Dallas and still allowed just 33 shots. He wins that game. And even though he lost the next two, by that time he felt his game coming back. And it's not like the Stars shelled him. I mean, they beat him 3-1 with an empty netter. And, it was that kind of game. So his confidence started to build, and I think, you know, closing out this series in the manner in which he did on a night where his team gets thoroughly outplayed, you know, a goaltender will never concede that he stole one. That's not something a goaltender, especially in hockey, they're, you know, everyone is, you know, part of the team and no one's above the team. But trust me, goaltenders love hearing it from other people. And, you know, that's going to be a huge confidence boost. And really, what was interesting about the Dallas series is everyone assumed that the Stars had the advantage in net with Jake Oettinger, and he's a great goaltender, yep. And he's, you know, he's going to be right there in the mix for the Vezina Trophy for years to come. Again, top goaltender in the NHL, but he was outplayed by Skinner. And you can't tell me that that's not a major confidence boost when you outplay a guy generally considered by his peers to be top three or four in the league. So the perceived advantage that Dallas had in net, on defense, you know, depth-wise, those advantages eroded over the course of this six-game series, and Skinner was a big reason why. He almost looks like Wyatt Earp. If you pull him up on Google, yeah. He's got the thick mustache, and I'm talking about the Kurt Russell, yeah. Wyatt Earp in, right. Tombstone.
Yep.
He's got the thick mustache, the eyes are kind of far back in his head, and he is just a cool customer. You never know whether he's given up six or it's been 6 hours since he's given up his last goal. He's got that easy confidence, and that's exactly what you want in net. Basically, Chris Knobloch's personality on the bench in goal was Stuart Skinner.
Wow.
Plus, he's a hometown kid. He's an Edmonton guy. I think it meant the world to him last night before that crowd, and you heard a little bit of it in that clip when I wasn't warbling on. I mean, it was just an electric atmosphere, and so I can imagine for Stuart Skinner playing in his hometown to take his team to the Stanley Cup final, his confidence at an all-time high right now.
It's probably rare for you where you go through an interview and nobody's brought up Connor McDavid until about 15 minutes in, but I'm going to bring him up here. I made a big picture statement last week for the NHL that they needed to have McDavid in the final. It's nice that, you know, Vegas earned its deal last year, Florida earned its deal last year, but it doesn't translate to the casual fan. Connor McDavid does. We know when he was drafted, it was McDavid and Jack Eichel. Eichel ended up going second overall to Buffalo, but Eichel had to go to Vegas to win his Stanley Cup. What has it meant to the people of Edmonton that he has been there the entire time to get them to this point?
Well, I mean, he's taken his place in the Pantheon. And when you're talking Edmonton Oilers hockey, and you have to be of a certain vintage, and you and I are in that category, yeah. And we would probably have to educate a handful of people even listening to this show. But, I mean, when you're in the Pantheon of the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, you don't even have to look that far on the Oiler bench. You've got assistant coach Paul Coffey,
yeah.
Who, you know, is probably the second best defenseman in the history of the game behind only Bobby Orr. You know, you've got Wayne Gretzky, you've got Mark Messier, generally considered the greatest captain in the history of the NHL. I'm not sure anyone is considered the greatest in his sport by a wider margin than Wayne Gretzky is in his.
Right.
I mean, I think LeBron has kind of bridged that gap. I still think, you know, Montana is close enough to Brady, but Gretzky is considered the greatest of all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
So when I say McDavid has taken his place, that's a significant statement. And yes, it's, you know, it's partly due to the fact that he's remained an Oiler for this long. And in fact, you know, Wayne Gretzky played, what was it, 9 years in Edmonton, and
yeah.
And this happens to be Connor McDavid's ninth year. That's not lost on me for sure. But he is the most advanced player we've seen in the history of the sport. He is. He is advanced. The speed at which he makes plays with the puck are something we've never seen before. In other words, you may, you know, want to argue that LeBron is better than Jordan if you wanted to, but you can't say he's done different things with the basketball than Jordan did. Sorry, he hasn't. Like, he neither did Kobe Bryant. I mean, Michael Jordan was the advanced version. This guy is miles past even what Wayne Gretzky could do at a certain speed with the puck. The vision, and he's also a big guy. You know, he's added hits to his game. He's added the face-off responsibilities. He's added the defensive work. He's just put in work year by year and added layer upon layer to his game. He's a machine. I mean, my partner calls him a cyborg. I mean, he is truly a guy that is dedicated to the craft, and every year he comes into training camp having added two and three layers to his skill set. And when you combine supernatural talent with a supernatural desire to get better and improve year by year, you've got an amazing combination. And what works for McDavid is he happens to have a sidecar named Leon Draisaitl, who does this very same thing.
Who's
a totally different player, the ultimate power forward, impossible to get the puck from, plays with injuries in the playoffs, played three rounds on a high ankle sprain 2 years ago, dealing with some back issues this year, and he just plays right through it. And these guys are right there with Gretzky and Lemieux as the biggest point producers in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they're not even 30 years old yet.
And see, that's interesting, because normally if you look at point production past the age of 25 in the NHL, even among the stars, there's a fall off. He's had his best 2 years since turning 25.
Correct. And again, I mean, Draisaitl's right there with him. I mean, he had the quietest 100-point season maybe in the history of the National Hockey League, and it was because, you know, it was eclipsed by the fact Wayne Gretzky put up 100 assists, the first guy in 30-plus years to do it. So, you know, McDavid. I mean, that's where we are, though. I mean, McDavid is so clearly the best player in the game. It speaks to your point about, you know, the time is right. You know, I'm sure in a perfect world, the National Hockey League wouldn't have minded the Rangers advancing, but the Florida Panthers are going to be a worthy opponent, and you're absolutely right. This is a perfect time for the National Hockey League to have its best player on its biggest stage, because you know, the way things work in major professional sports, you at some point have to strike when the time is nigh. And when I think about the National Hockey League, and you'll probably remember the last time National Hockey League made this push and the Rangers won the Stanley Cup and the NBA was kind of falling a little bit with Jordan having retired and going into a strike, the NHL, you know, the NHL went in a lockout and they lost some momentum. This is a major opportunity for the National Hockey League to kind of, you know, continue to push its way into the major four. And certainly from a hockey perspective, Connor McDavid is the best way to do that.
Jack, you are without question one of the best in the business. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. I'm thrilled for everybody in Edmonton, including you know, Hudson Ward, who's up there, is going to be coming to Penn State. So from Edmonton,
I know it well, and of course you know that Sherwood Park, where I live, the little suburb, 15 minutes from Edmonton, turned out Chuba Hubbard. So there's some talent up here. It's not a steady flow yet, but it's at least a trickle. And Steve, I hope we're able to hook up this fall. Obviously, you know what I think of your work, and the feeling is mutual, and I appreciate being on your show.
Hey, get here this fall, you're in. Okay, just let me know.
Jack, take care of yourself.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks so much.
All the best.
The great Jack Michaels, the play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, one of the best in the business. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. This half hour has been brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, before we go to break, I wanted to let everybody know that Route 11 between Shamokin and Northumberland is closed because of a car accident. Please try to avoid that area if possible.
Oh, boy. I hope everybody's okay. But find alternate routes, please.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students.